going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis, here again with another True Church Perspective. We've been dealing with the seven churches in Asia. Now we've come to the church at Sardis, which we dealt with a little bit last week. And we're going to continue dealing with this church this week and probably move to the next church on next week if we can get finished here. I just think that there's some things, some key things about the church of Sardis that we should deal with in this. So let's begin reading at Revelations 3:1, where it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." Now, this church at Sardis, we dealt with it a little last week, and we dealt with an aspect of the church at Sardis where this was a great and powerful conquering city at one point, where this church was located. This city was great. They had a great reputation. And the city was known for its wealth, its commerce. I mean, it was just a really, really great city. But because the city was conquered and because the city lost its place as being great, they just kind of kept going off the reputation of being great. And they always talked about what used to be. And this bled over into the church. And this is why Jesus was saying to the church at Sardis that thou hast a name, that thou livest and you are dead. Now, Jesus was saying that the church had a reputation, but now the church is dead, but you're still going off your old reputation. And this is something that is insulting to God because, you know, Jesus Christ is the head of our church. And if a church is dead, then it points to Jesus. And Jesus does not want to be associated with a dead church because we know that he is alive. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Life is the opposite of death. You know, I say that all the time, and I want young people to hear that, especially wearing skulls and wearing skeletons and skulls all over your clothes. You know, that's an age old ritual to celebrate murder and death. And our children are wearing this stuff, and that is the opposite of Jesus Christ. So to see even a Christian calling themselves a Christian saying that they have life and yet they are promoting that which is dead is a very sad thing in our day. But we're seeing it more and more. We see recording artists and just different ones that call themselves Christians celebrating death, when we know that Jesus Christ is life. But here, Christ is saying, I'm the life, but the church is dead, and you're going off of a name and a reputation of what you used to do. I remember a guy that I knew had a car. It was like an older Lincoln, and we were just kind of riding in it. We were going somewhere, and he always talked about what he used to have. He would even pull out pictures. He'd say, man, look at this Lamborghini I used to have. You know, man, yeah, there's my picture. I'm driving it. Look at me. I used to have it. And he'd pull out another picture. See this Ferrari? Yeah, man, I used to have a Ferrari, man. And And I was looking at him like, man, you and this big old Lincoln, this Lincoln look like a battleship. You talking about a Lamborghini you used to have? Now, what kind of person is that insecure that they always have to talk about what used to be? Well, bottom line is there's a deficiency. They're not able to have it anymore. So they have to talk about the way it used to be. And this is the problem with these churches. They were following rituals. They were doing the same thing they used to do, but they weren't getting the results they used to get because that was a time where God was blessing them and Christ was a part of what they were doing. Now, when Christ leaves what you're doing, then you're dead. So you can still go through the same motions, but without the Spirit of the Lord living, it is dead. And this is what Christ is saying to this particular church. You guys are going off an old reputation. But let's look at Revelation 3:2, where he says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch," listen to this, "I will come on thee as a thief." Okay, now we hear this all the time and we grew up hearing this, and there used to be a fear of the return of God because the hope of Christ returning is actually something that purifies our walk. And this is what the scripture says, that this hope, blessed hope of Christ's return, purifies us, meaning it causes us to live a certain way when we expect Christ to return. It's just like if you were to expect a thief, then you could prepare for the thief. You could get you a shotgun and sit in your living room, or you can make sure your alarm is working and you could prepare if you knew a thief was coming. But Christ is saying, "I'm coming as a thief," meaning I'm going to sneak up on this whole situation and rescue and pull my people out. So you need to watch and be careful that you don't miss me. And this is what Christ is saying. He's only going to be a thief to those that are not ready. If you're ready, then he will not be a thief. But this word watch is very important, because when we talk about dealing with churches that are dead, the one thing that they don't have is a watchful eye. A dead church cannot watch. Have you ever seen a dead person try to see? When a person is dead, they can't see no more. A person can die with their eyes open and you can do anything in front of them and they ain't moving because they can't see anymore. And that is what happens with a dead church. This is why Christ was so adamant about watching. He said, "Be watchful in 3:2. And in 3:3, he said, "If you don't watch," this word watch is very important. And that's the word I want to deal with, because when we talk about the city of Sardis, Sardis was conquered twice. And the way it was conquered the same way two times, because the people weren't watchful and the enemy was watching. Now, this is very important that you understand how this city was conquered, Sardis, where this church was, because it gives us a glimpse into what Christ is saying when he says, "Watch, I'll come as a thief." What happened was it was a city that had a layer at the bottom and a layer at the top. And you could fight the layer at the bottom, but it was the layer at the top where you had to conquer the layer at the top in order to conquer the whole city. Well, the word Sardis actually means escaping or coming out of. That is what the word means. And we understand that by the way the city was conquered. There was a guard standing guard at the top layer of the city. And one of the soldiers lost their helmet, and the helmet rolled down to the bottom part. And this particular guard took the path, the secret path down the top layer of the city down to the bottom layer to retrieve the helmet. Then he walked right back up the path that leads to the top. Now, what was going on was the enemy was watching him when he went down the path. The path was hidden, but the enemies were watching him. And because this particular guard wasn't being watchful to know that the enemy was taking note of that path, they actually took soldiers up that same path, conquered the top and the bottom, and took over the city. Then once the city was established again, the same thing happened years later. The city was conquered again. Now, this sets up a pattern for us to understand what Christ was really trying to say about being watchful. The enemy is watching you, so you have to stay watchful. This is why Christ mentioned it here. Now, when we're talking about a dead church, I don't know if any of you that are listening are a part of or have been a part of a dead church, but the one thing dead people don't do well is watch. If the church is dead, which I mean the Spirit of the Lord is not operating in that church, then you basically have people in the church that are not watchful or can't be watchful. One of the ways that you can tell that they're not watchful is to look at their children. And, you know, I'm not saying this to slight anybody and saying that everyone everyone that is saved need to have perfect children. I'm not saying that at all. If you watch my videos on teens and raising teens and different things like that, you'll understand that it's a struggle just raising a teen in 2009. I don't care who you are, how saved you are. But the problem comes when a church is dead. They can't keep their eyes open and they can't see. And a lot of times the children are the ones that suffer the consequence. So you will have people that are being very spiritual, people that are calling themselves spiritual and saying these things, but they don't have an eye for their own children in their own home. They're dead. And when a person is dead, they cannot see. So let's understand this. Christ is always saying for us to watch. The scripture is always telling us to watch. The apostles are telling us to watch. God is telling us to watch. We talk about prayer all the time and just pray about it. Did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? But you don't hear anybody saying, did you watch? Are you watching? Are you watching? And this is a part of prayer. When we go to Colossians 4 and 2, it says continue in prayer and watch in the same. So it's saying that don't just pray, but you got to watch and pray. How do you know what to pray for if you are not watching? 1 Thessalonians says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. So in other words, when you're asleep or dead, you cannot watch. And God wants us to watch. Just as this man that was guarding this city, he wasn't paying attention to what the enemy was doing, and he gave the whole city away because he was not paying attention. He was not being watchful. And that's how our churches are getting. The enemy has been watching these dead churches for years. So the enemy knows how they come in and they pray. He knows how they leave and do their own thing. He knows how the leadership is not spiritual and just building a church based on what they want to see happen and pastoring the church because they don't want a regular job. So the devil has been watching this stuff for years. And now many churches, they don't have a game plan on how to fight the enemy because they have not been watching. Now, listen to what I'm saying, and please get this true church perspective. I'm not talking about every church. There are churches out here, even in the Metroplex area, that are upstanding for God. I mean, have the works of God going on, the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I'm not talking about those churches. I'm talking about churches that are dead. And those are churches that do not possess the Spirit of the living God. 1 Peter 4 and 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand, meaning we are at the end. But be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So in other words, don't just pray about it, but you have to keep your eyes open and watch. Don't you know if people would watch, a lot of them wouldn't end up in bad churches. If they would watch, a lot of them wouldn't end up making the worst decision of their lives to join a church that won't benefit their family. Let me tell you something, people. Look up at your children. Look at what's going on in their lives. If your children are struggling and you call yourself a Christian, you need to check the youth group of the church out. Look and see what the pastor's children in that church are doing. Look and see what they're up to. You got to watch, because if you're not protecting the investment you have in your own children, then you are not being watchful. The enemy is watching you, and he's watching every move you make, and he's looking for a way to get a doorway to enter so that he can conquer you. But the Bible tells us greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, but he has to be alive in us. You cannot be dead. Those that are dead, anything dead needs to be buried. So this scripture is telling us to be watchful. If you don't watch, Christ is saying, I'm gonna come as a thief. Now, let's talk about this first with the leadership of the churches. Now, the leaders have to have a special eye in the church because they're supposed to not only watch for their own lives, but they have to watch for the lives of the members in the church. Now, I liken the pastor unto the guard that gave the city away. He's watching the city. He's called by Christ, in other words, to guard the city and guard the inhabitants of the city. He can't make a mistake by running after a helmet and then walking back up and the enemy see the pathway into the city to destroy the inhabitants. Hebrews 13 and 17 tells us, obey them that have rule over you. Submit Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. These are the watchers of your soul. Speaking of pastors and bishops, bishop and pastor is the same word in the scripture. This is overseer, the person that watches over you. We talked about coverings and all of that, so make sure you're careful with those words. But the scripture is telling us overseer, watching over you. And this person is in charge of that. So they're supposed to protect you from the enemy. They can't give away the secrets. But what happens is the enemy brings different things into their lives. This is why we're having such an attack on the presbytery. We're having such an attack on the leaders of our churches. They're becoming sexually immoral. They're becoming effeminate and homosexual. The enemy is attacking the leadership of the church because he knows if he can get the leadership to not watch for the souls, then the souls of that membership or body will perish. And you can always tell when the souls of the membership of a body of a church are perishing, because the children are always out of order. And this is a sad thing, because if the leaders or the pastors are not watchful with their prayer, now they go on consecrations, we have prayer meetings, they have weekly prayer, and we have all this prayer going on, but are we watching? God said, be watchful. The power of God is what makes us watchful while we pray. We pray for God to give us insight. Let us see your way, God. Let us see that path, the path that leads to our success, not the path of destruction. And Father, let us see that. This is what we have to pray. Let us see that even in leadership. We don't submit to a leader to the point to where we become blind and whatever the leader does, we have to agree with. No. We submit to a leader by the authority of God, but we still want God to show us when a leader is not right, because our children are at stake, and the same fate of the pastor's children a lot of times will be the fate of your children if you submit yourself under that authority. Even in the scripture, there was a parable about this, and God was talking about the wheat and the tare, and he was talking about the man that planted the good seed, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that planteth good seed in a field. But while they were sleeping and not watching, the enemy came and did what? He came and he sowed tares among the wheat, meaning that even though you planted something good while you weren't watching, the enemy planted tares. Now, this is where we're going with this church at Sardis. The problem with Sardis was that even though they had a reputation of being great, even though they were once great, they were conquered because they were not watchful. And Jesus is saying to the church, you must be watchful or I'm coming like a thief. He said, if you're not watching, I'm going to sneak up on you and I'm going to take my people out and you will not be ready. Now, if this guard that had dropped his helmet and walked up the path, if he was watching, he would have saw that he was being watched. He would have taken another route up or he never would have gone down. But because he was sleeping on the job, the enemy was able to come in and conquer the city. Now, one thing about sleeping and not watching is temptation. See, if you're not being watchful, then the enemy can bring temptation up on you. If you put yourself in that position, then yeah, the temptation may overcome you and take you. That's why you have to always be watchful. I remember a story that a pastor of mine said one time. He was talking about a dog that was tied up in the yard, and this dog had about 15 feet of chain. He was tied to a tree, and this particular dog, he could only go 15 feet with the chain. It would only allow him to go 15 feet. So he said that one day this little boy went out and he was messing with the dog. He's a real angry dog, and he walked over there by the dog, and the dog ran out on the chain, and the dog was just barking and going crazy. And then he got too close. He was in the 15 feet, got too close. The dog scratched him and began to try to bite at him, and I mean, he barely got away. And then he went and his dad saw him and saw he was obviously disturbed and said, hey, what happened, son? He said, that dog is messing with me. And the daddy said, the dog has 15 feet that he can mess with you. Why are you in the 15 feet? He said, you got all this space out here to play. Why are you playing in the 15 feet? Why are you messing with the dog? You know he only has 15 feet. And I like that particular story because it's telling us that if the boy had been watchful, he would have known that you have all of this space. You can't get too close to the dog. pay attention. The dog only has 15 feet. And that's where we are. When we're not watchful, we will find ourselves in the position to be hurt. We will be too close to the thing that can destroy us because we're not watching. You know, I have people emailing me all the time about Freemasonry and fraternities and sororities. That's the number one thing. And they always like, man, I paid all this money and I've got branded. I've got tattooed and I mean, I'm a part of this organization. How you going to tell me that the organization is evil? How you going to tell me that I pledge myself to a false god? How you going to tell me all of this after I've done all? And I'm like, you weren't watchful. If you had been watchful, you wouldn't have put yourself in a position to do God like that. You wouldn't have put yourself in an idolatrous position. Now, you can't make it right just because you weren't watchful. And that's the problem we have now. If you're not watchful, you will give in to temptation. And this is what Christ was saying even in Luke 22 and 45. He said, when he got up from his prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from grief. So in other words, they were so grieved, they just said, hey, let's go to sleep. And you know, when you go to sleep, stuff go by faster. Let's try to sleep our way out of this mess. And Jesus said unto them, why do you sleep? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. In other words, if you are asleep and not paying attention, then when it comes up on you, you will be tempted to do the wrong thing. And this is what he's saying to the church. Church, wake up. Watch. You can't watch while you sleep. Your eyes don't work when you're sleeping. I know folks sometimes sleep with their eyes open and they can't see a thing. That's because they're asleep. God is saying, wake up and watch so you do not give in to temptation. If you're not watching, you'll get too close. Just like the boy with the dog, you'll get too close to the sin. And then if you're too close to it, it'll overcome you. It'll take you. The enemy is waiting for us to get so close that we can't resist. I'm going to tell you this. You know, if God has delivered you from using crack, you do not have a ministry in the crack house. You need to stay as far away from the crack house as you can. You don't reach those that are on crack because you got off crack. No, you go and prevent folks from ever getting on crack. Come on, y'all. Let's have some sensibility about this. If you were homosexual after you've been delivered from homosexuality, why are you at midnight musicals? A midnight musical is off limits to you because you know the freaks come out at night. Ain't nothing but a bunch of gays up in the midnight musical. Why are you in there trying to sing and clap and you know you got a problem? You still ain't fully delivered from twitching and you get the twitching in there and somebody see you. Come on, y'all. They're going to be on you like flies on manure. And that is why we need to make sure we are watchful. Let's not put ourselves in a position to be conquered. And that's why I don't understand, y'all. And I'm gonna just say it. I don't understand these gospel artists talking about, yeah, God has delivered me from porn and I've been delivered from homosexuality, but they at the Bobby Jones retreat. What you on stage with Bobby Jones for if you've been delivered from homosexuality? You know, this is a dirty shame. You on stage with Bobby Jones and all these homosexual artists and you call yourself delivered? I don't understand this, y'all, because we're not being watchful. Sure, God is not gonna put us in a position to be tempted above our measure to resist, but the devil always does, and he's waiting for us to fall asleep. He's waiting for us to be a part of a dead church. You know, I used to remember when I was younger, pastors used to get up on Sunday and they would reiterate things that we were going through during the week, and they would remind us, don't fall to temptation, don't fall to that sin. And it was like you would get checked every Sunday, so you were less likely to fall into sin and temptation during the week, because you know when Sunday came, the pastor was going to check you by the power of God, and he was going to get up and preach heaven and hell, and he was going to tell you, don't let the enemy trap you, don't let the enemy get you bound, don't let the enemy cause you to sin and fall, because God is watching. You must be watchful and watch for the enemy so the enemy can't come and conquer you. The Bible says, how can you spoil a man's goods unless you first bind the strong man? The devil wants to bind you by putting you in a dead church like Sardis that has already been conquered. And Christ is saying, wake up. You that are dead, come alive so that you can use your eyes and watch that you do not enter into temptation. Watch for me. So when I come as a thief to rescue you out of this immoral world, you will not be one that is immoral, but you will go back with me. Christ is saying, watch for me. I'm coming as a thief to rescue those that are for real about me. So watch. Y'all, this is a powerful word of God. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He said, I haven't found good works in you, so you must wake up and you must stop being fearful and stop being asleep and watch so that you do not enter into temptation. He said, and I will come as a thief, and that hour you won't know when I come upon you. That's why you have to keep watching. People of God, hear this message today. God wants our eyes open. He don't want us conquered by the enemy keeping an eye on us, but we're not keeping an eye on him. You must keep an eye on the enemy. I know folks that preach that out. Well, we don't have to worry about what the devil is doing. And Joel Osteen preaches that crap, that I don't talk about the devil. I just talk about good stuff. And well, then you have an unbalanced message, because Christ talked about demons, the devil. He cast out devils and demons. We are faced with demons in our society. We have to talk about them, but not just talk about them, but we have to do something about them. And we can't just always pray about it, but we have to pray and then be watchful. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Open your eyes, people of God. Keep watching. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I believe, God, that you want our eyes wide open, Lord. You don't want our eyes wide shut like the devil wants them, but you want us to see what's going on. Father, you want it for us, for the church, for God, for your kingdom to be established and our children, Father, to be fruitful after we give it over to them. God, we won't have a church if we don't have our children in a position to lead. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. God, I thank you. I hope it is shaking up the rafters of hell. I hope it is shaking up the Metroplex, God, so that people will begin to make better decisions about where they submit themselves when it comes to churches and pastors, where they submit themselves when it comes to leadership, where they plant themselves, God, for their sake, for their children's sake, for the kingdom's sake. Father, those that are just sitting under a pastor, God, just so they can have a place to go, Father, I pray that you arrest their heart so they can make a better decision, God. God, those that are men, those leaders that are men of God and upstanding, God, show them where they are, Lord. Show them where they are so they can get to them, Father, and get out of dead churches. Get out of these churches where the men are not watching for their souls and the men are only watching their pocketbooks and the money. Father, get them out of these churches where the pastor's children are the worst children in the whole church, Father, because that same curse, what is in the pastor's house, is going to be in your house. Father God, get them out of these places, Father, that are dry and desolate. Get them out of these places, Lord, that are dead, where their eyes can't open and they can't see. Father, I pray right now, Lord, there are many men of God in this area. There are many men that have not bowed down to Baal. There are many men, Father God, that have not submitted themselves to homosexual leaders and submitted themselves to the mythology of the homosexual. Father, there are many men that serve you with their true heart and can watch over their soul. And I pray, God, that you would rescue your people and send them, Lord. Let them see where they need to go. Let them see the ministry they need to be a part of. Every penny that they sow is to endorse a ministry. So, Father, don't let them give to corruption anymore. But, Father, let them sow into ground that is good and fertile for you and your kingdom. Father, I pray for their children's sake. I pray for that single mother that is struggling to raise her children because the man is not there. I pray for that married couple that is struggling to raise their children and struggling even to get along. I pray that divorce doesn't happen. I pray, Lord, that you bring them together. God, I pray, Lord, Father God, for the foundational things so our churches can stay alive and, Father, and they can thrive in this wicked time. I pray and believe it that we would stay watchful and not sleep. In the name of Jesus. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
Thank you for joining us for A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.